The Skagway Assembly may be close to naming a new manager, and a Haynes graduate plays at the college level, but not in a sport you might expect. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday, and it's possible the group could decide to hire a manager. The Assembly will discuss the manager position in executive session. It comes after a Thursday morning interview with the only candidate to reach this far along in the process, Scott Hahn. He's in town this week with a public meet and greet Wednesday night and a public interview with the Assembly at 10 a.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. Before the executive session and any possible manager decision, the Assembly will take up a handful of code enforcement ordinances, establishing civil fines and appeal processes for violations. Mayor Mark Schaefer will also have mayor proclamations declaring April Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. The group will revise its list of Assembly goals and look at a conceptual plan for the Gateway Project. This plan from Dr. Chad Gubala is a base plan, and it's expected changes will be made to the plan by the Port Commission and the Assembly before it's used to issue a request for proposal for the project. The Assembly will also look at an updated proposal from Hamilton Construction to sell the municipality 15 acres of land to develop a recycling and public works facility. The company is offering the property to the municipality for about $1.6 million. Finally, the Assembly will discuss repairs needed to the south end of the ore dock. John Tronrud of the Skagway Longshoremen Unit notified the municipality and White Pass recently that the support for the catwalk south of the shiploader is gone, as well as some smaller issues. It was speculated the damage to the catwalk appeared earlier this year during a barge docking. About a year ago, Club Length, owner of White Pass, which is responsible for dock repairs, submitted a long-range plan for dock improvements. Unclear if the current damage to the dock falls into repairs already planned for by the company. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available online at skagway.org. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. A measure setting up a road and ferry savings account has cleared its first state Senate committee. What's called the Transportation Infrastructure Fund would also pay for airport, harbor, and similar projects. House Joint Resolution 10 has gained support from construction and development groups. At a recent hearing, Tom Bryce said the three laborers' unions he represents support the measure.
It breaks down some constitutional barriers that exist in terms of establishing long-term planning for the transportation needs of the state.
Wrangell Republican Representative Peggy Wilson authored the resolution, which the House approved in March. It passed out of the Senate Transportation Committee Tuesday. Wilson told the panel the measure resurrects a system used in territorial days.
There were already two transportation funds in existence before we became a state. One was for roads and one was for ferries and harbors, water and harbors. And so we're combining both of them into one.
The next stop is the Senate Finance Committee, then the Chamber's floor. Wilson's resolution would put a constitutional amendment before voters in November. Passage would allow the fund to be created. Separate bills establishing and appropriating $2 billion into the fund are not expected to pass this year. Wilson said that will come later. She says the fund would pay for more transportation projects, but critics, including the governor, say it could shrink the amount of money spent. The proposed KSM mine in British Columbia near Hyder is working through the Canadian permitting system and could start operating in just a couple years. As more Southeast Alaska residents become aware of this mining project, more concerns have been raised about the potential effects on this side of the border. Some Southeast Native tribal leaders got together last week to discuss those concerns. KRBD's Lila Carey caught up with a couple of the participants after the summit and has this report.
Representatives from 11 Southeast Alaska Native tribes came together to talk about transboundary rivers and the potential harm that Canadian mining projects could have on Alaska's ecosystem. The meeting took place in Craig on Prince of Wales Island and was hosted by the organized village of Kasan. John Morris of the Douglas Indian Association was among the participants. He says he's worried about the long-term effects of mining. He mentioned some mines in the Juneau-Douglas area that have been closed for many years.
One of the projects we decided to take on was to do some water sampling, soil sampling from the old mine tailings. We started several years ago, and what we had found out that from our testing, that a lot of the old tailings, there are still a lot of arsenic and mercury content there.
Morris says mines have the potential to harm fish, game, and flora as soon as they start operating, and there's no predicting how long the effects will continue. Among the proposed Canadian mines close to Alaska's border, the Kerr Sulphurets Mitchell Mine is furthest along in its permitting process. Guy Archibald of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council was traveling with Morris. Archibald compared the KSM mine to the controversial Pebble Mine, which has been proposed for Alaska's Bristol Bay area, and says KSM developers themselves have estimated that the effects could last two centuries.
The projected lifespan of this mine is 50 years. They also project that they're going to have active water treatment for at least 200 more years. In all likelihood, it will have to be perpetual water treatment forever.
Rob Sanderson of Ketchikan attended the summit as one of the Tlingit-Haida Central Council representatives. He says the tribes want to connect with other stakeholders, such as sport fishing groups, and work together to stop the KSM mine. Even if the mine is operated safely, Sanderson says accidents happen.
You're talking two tailing sites that are bigger than the Hoover Dam. You know, and Lord forbid, you know, we live in a very seismic active area in the world. And as you know, that we've had an earthquake off Craig last winter at over 7 point something, and one of those tailing sites break open. You can imagine the devastation from those tailings that would leave. You know, that would go right around Gravina Island first, more than any other island. Ketchikan would take a direct hit.
At the end of the summit, the group came up with a plan of action. Morris says they're forming a committee that will reach out to Alaska and U.S. officials in hopes that they will intervene with the Canadian government. The KSM project would extract about 130,000 tons of ore daily from four deposits. Seabridge Gold, the company developing the mine, estimates that the project will operate for about 57 years. Development plans call for a water treatment facility that will treat all water from mine activity during those 57 years and for as long as it takes after the mine is closed. According to the company's executive summary, the KSM mine will have minor effects on the quality of the river water, minor effects on fish and wildlife, and some lasting effects on surrounding wetlands. The company is supposed to compensate for any negative effects. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Haines High School basketball fans will remember Tyler Swinton as a top shooter during his time on the Glacier Bear team. But nowadays, Swinton has exchanged his jersey for a polo shirt and the basketball court for a golf course. Swinton was recently named to the Oregon Institute of Technology golf team after playing for 2 years at Southwestern Oregon Community College. Swinton has always enjoyed golfing, said his mom, Sarah, but it was a surprise to the family when, after graduating Haines High School in 2012, he changed his plans to go to the University of Alaska and wanted to find a college with a golf team instead.
He's like, yeah, that's what I really want to do. And so he picked five different community colleges in Washington and Oregon, and he got four coaches to call him back, and he decided to go to SWAC just so he could play on Bandon Dunes. And totally loves it.
Last year, he helped the team claim the Northwest Athletic Association of Community Colleges Golf Championship and was named Most Improved Player. Then he reached out to Oregon Tech golf coach Jeff Corkill, who was looking to fill out his team after five senior players graduated. He told the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame sports blog that he was impressed with Swinton's experience and ability on the junior college team. Last fall, Swinton shot an average of 78. He lowered that to an average of 73 at the championships, according to the blog. All impressive stats for a kid from Alaska.
There aren't golfers that come out of the state of Alaska that go down and play college. They, you know, they play basketball or baseball or other things, and especially for him being as tall as he is.
And nearly 6'9", Sarah says he has to have custom clubs made. Tyler still does play basketball in intramural sports, and he's caught the eye of the basketball coach, but his mom said he's firmly focused on golf. Tyler will be back in Haines for the summer around mid-June. He heads back to OIT in late August to start with his new golf team. That's before he would get a chance to go moose hunting.
There wasn't moose hunting last year either, but he said there always will be when he's done with school.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Lila Carey and Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Don't forget to join us Thursday at 10 a.m. for Talk Around Town. I'll be your host this week as we discuss the Haines Manager's Budget for the Borough. That's Talk Around Town this Thursday at 10 a.m. on KHNS. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. This is Margaret Friednauer, KHNS News Director. We're making some changes to the evening news schedule to better serve you. Starting April 7th, NPR's All Things Considered will air live at 5 p.m., followed by KHNS Local News at 6, and stay tuned for Alaska News Nightly at 6:30. That's the KHNS evening news lineup starting April 7th. Improved to keep you better informed.
I've got news for you.